There was a gentleman who boarded a plane in Los Angeles. And the plane had, it unfortunately was a one-stop situation. The plane was going to make a stop in Dallas. It had a connecting flight, and then it would end up ultimately concluding the flight in New York. There was a gentleman on that plane, and as the plane had left and was traveling to Dallas, he was very tired. And he knew how much of a deep sleeper he was, and so he asked one of the flight attendants. There was an older lady there coming down the aisle helping them with drinks and such, and he requested of her that she would wake him up when they got to Dallas. It was very important that he didn't continue on to New York, that he got off the plane in Dallas and went on to his business. And so she agreed to do so. So he went to sleep. And some time passed, and he woke up. He wasn't sure how much time had passed, but when he woke up and realized that the plane had stopped, it wasn't long before he also noticed that it was New York and not Dallas. And he threw a fit. He was so upset. He let her have it verbally, that particular flight attendant, and he stormed off the plane. Well, one of the other flight attendants noticed it and said, "Man, that guy sure was mean. He sure was angry and ugly to you." And she said, "Well, if you thought he was mad, you should have seen the guy I woke up and forced off the plane in Dallas." That illustration, talking about anger, and you might say, we're talking about anger tonight, by the way, and you might say that was justifiable, both of those guys being upset about that situation. And maybe there are times that anger is justifiable and sometimes that it's not, that it's not okay or acceptable. That's what we're talking about tonight. I had two requests, actually, in the sermon box, and I'm so thankful some of you have been utilizing that, about this subject. And both of them, I don't know if it was two different people or the same person, but both of them asked the question, is anger a sin? That's a great question. And there's a lot of text in the New Testament that seem to say that to avoid anger altogether. And rightly so. We'll see why as we go through this study. Some of them seem to reference that anger in itself is not sinful. And so that's what we want to talk about. In Colossians 3 and verse 8, Paul talks about things that a Christian should put off. You know, he says, that old man, that life of sin has been crucified. We're done with him. We're a new creature. And here are some things that don't need to be a part of that Christian walk. And the first one in that list is anger. The second one is likened to it, and it is wrath. Anger and wrath. Now, the term anger, the only difference in those two terms, the word anger literally is the idea of the initial feeling that you get, that frustration that comes initially. The difference between that, best I can tell, and this word used that is translated wrath, is that wrath is an extended anger. Wrath goes farther and action is taken. It's almost, I guess, the action form, if you will, of anger. That's really the only difference in the two. And so we'll see another text later that will help to help us better understand the correlation between those two words. But we're talking about anger, and Paul says by inspiration, you need to stay away from anger. Put off anger. Don't be around it. Before we get into answering the question, I want to start by talking a little bit about the physical aspect of this. And the reason why is twofold. Number one, I want you to see the seriousness of anger and the effect it has, not only on the people around you, but to begin with at this point, the effect it has on you, even physically speaking. We'll get to the spiritual part. But even physically, anger can be very hard on your body. And the second reason I want to talk about this is because I don't want you to get the idea tonight that there may be a point in which, and we're going to talk about anger, almost a righteous anger, anger that's not sinful, but I don't want you to get the idea that I'm suggesting that anger is necessarily really a good thing. It would be hard to say that anger is something we want or should desire to have, even though it may not be inherently sinful. And so I want you to see that this really is a serious subject that we're talking about. And although it may not be sinful to become angry, it can really be hard on your body and to those around you. I just think this is important. Just briefly, there was a study that was done, actually down in Miami, Florida. The city or district there is called Coral Gables, I believe is the name of it, down in the Miami area. And some doctors there performed a study several decades ago in which they took some men and they put them in situations. The study, what they were trying to conclude is basically the effects that certain situations, mental situations, had on one's heart and the pumping of the heart, the blood flow through the body. Long story short, they put each of these men in certain circumstances. One, they made these men ride an exercise bike. and did some x-raying to discover what effect that had on his blood flow. They did some studies in which they put these men in hypothetical situations where they were wrongfully accused of a crime and they had to defend themselves. Very interesting study. And that was to put them in a stressful situation. And then, in the third place, they had them recall and try to relive the moment in their life that they were the most angry. Whatever had happened to them that caused it, we've all had that moment when we've been very angry. And maybe it would take us a minute to think of it, maybe not. But they had to kind of relive that in their minds. And without any doubt in their minds at the conclusion of this, it was anger that did the most harm to the blood flow of their body, even more than stress, even more than exercise, which exercise we think of as a positive anyways to the heart. It's good for it. But anger and stress are very connected in the way that they hurt the body, but anger is even worse. And basically what they derived is that anger causes the brain to release hormones. I'm not going to talk about the biological terms here because I really don't know. But basically, your body goes into a clotting of the blood mode. It thinks that you're sick, and it clots the blood. And if you've ever been really mad and gotten lightheaded, maybe a little nauseated, something to that effect, that's what happens. The brain is telling the body to clot that blood. That's just how the body works. And so people have even lost their lives, had a stroke or a heart attack in that moment of frustration, because that's the effect that it has. Furthermore, it has an effect on the brain, the functions of the brain. If you're someone who has had a lot of anger in your life, you may be very forgetful in time because it impairs the memory portion of your brain. Anger can impair your learning ability. And finally, I thought it was significant that anger can shorten your lifespan. They compared it with smoking, with alcohol, with things that can shorten the period of your life. Anger can do just that. It can have long-term effects on the body. Anger is a very, very serious thing. However, that being said, anger is not always inherently sinful. That's what we want to talk about. Get your Bibles if you hopefully have brought them with you tonight, and we'll make some references here beginning in Deuteronomy. Anger, first of all, is not sinful. I'm going to give you three reasons why it's not, and then we're going to talk about the spiritual negative effects. But first of all, three reasons why we can be sure that anger itself inherently is not sinful. Number one, because anger is an emotion, not an action. Wrath is a little different. We'll get to that. But anger itself is an emotion. God does not hold us accountable or credit us with sin and with regards to something that we don't have control over. That's not the God that we serve. Think about another emotion. Think about sorrow. Can you or I, brethren, can we control whether or not we feel sorrow? We know we can. Wouldn't that be great if we could? Maybe it wouldn't, because we'd probably never want to feel sorrow. We'd never turn that switch on. There's a lot of good that comes from sorrow, though. And David says in his distress, he would call upon the Lord. It causes you to lean on God and lean on others. So it can be a good thing. But we can't control whether or not we feel sorrow. It takes time to get over grief and to be comforted in a difficult time. Sorrow in and of itself is not sinful. It can cause us to maybe do something that's sinful, lead us to do that. But in and of itself, there's nothing wrong with sorrow. Anger is kind of the same way. Let me give you another example. Maybe a better one is lust. You know, normally we think of lust as a sinful emotion, a sinful feeling. And like anger, most of the time when you see it in the New Testament, it's referenced in a negative connotation. However, lust is not inherently sinful. For example, husbands and wives, when you, let me put it this way, have that desire for one another, you know what I mean, adults, when that feeling is there, is that sinful to have that desire for your spouse? Of course not. But that's what lust is. And so it can be sinful when it's used in a negative way. I'll never forget, and I'm on a bit of a tangent, but not really. I'll never forget, though, a lesson that I heard at the marriage retreat. Glenn Colley mentioned this, and it's always stuck with me. Guys, you know this, guys, we're programmed a little bit differently than women when it comes to that particular topic. And he made this statement. I think it's very, very good to remember, men. Let's say you're walking in the mall, and you go by that store, and you know what I'm talking about, guys, that basically has pornographic material on their windows. I'm talking about Victoria's Secret. And he mentioned something I'll never forget. He said, guys, always remember the bounce your eyes rule. You may be walking in a new mall, guys, and you're looking at the stores and you see that. You have two options. One, you can continue to look and let your mind wander, men, in ways that we ought not, and that's a problem. That's when lust conceives, James 1 and verse 15, and can become sinful. Or, as he put it, we can bounce our eyes. Just like a basketball. Just turn your head and look somewhere else and go on. Right? Lust, in and of itself, is not a sinful emotion, but it can quickly lead to sinful activity. Right? James 1 and verse 15, lust, when it is conceived, brings forth sin. And so emotion in and of itself is not sinful. However, what you do with that emotion, what action you take when you're feeling that emotion, is where the sin can come in. And so anger is not. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 25 that you see on the screen, there's a discussion there about graven images. He talks about God being a jealous God and Israel being involved with these idols. And the Bible says in verse 25 that provokes a jealous God to anger. It's an emotion that is provoked. You can't help that. Sometimes you can't help being a little bit angry about certain situations and certain things that come up. And that leads me to my second reason that I can be certain and you can be certain that anger is not sinful. Because God feels anger. That's an emotion that God has. God has been angry several times, many times throughout the Bible. But it's a righteous anger. It's an anger that comes from mostly, of course, sin. Look at Mark chapter 3 if you'd like. Let's turn to this one. Sometimes I spout them out and don't pause and ask you to turn to them. And I want to do that with a few of these passages. Mark chapter 3. Deuteronomy 4:25, we see God angry. And there's several other passages we could note. And even our Lord, when He was here in the flesh, maybe no greater example than thinking of God and in the flesh here with us, He felt anger as well. In this particular case, we have our Lord in the synagogue, and there's a man who has a withered hand. And he's going to heal him, but it is the Sabbath day. And so he asked them, the Jews around him, he knows their hearts, remember? And so he asked them about this. Is it lawful to do this? And in verse 5, this is what it says. Mark 3 and verse 5. When he had looked round about them, on them rather, with anger, this is a reference to our Lord, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Jesus was angry. Our Lord, was that sinful? It was not, of course not. Why was he angry? Because they were hard-hearted about the truth, the message that he was proclaiming. And they're trying to be all technical and all worthy of the law, but they're missing the point. And so he's angry about this. He's frustrated. Friends, I don't know that we could ever say that it would be unlawful, ungodly, to be angry about sin. Certainly a justifiable instance. Mark 11 that you also see there, you remember when Jesus went in and the deal with the money changers at the temple. He took those tables and he flipped them over. What emotion do you think he was feeling? The Bible doesn't say, but I think we can conclude. When you're joyful and happy, do you flip tables? Well, some of you are grinning like, that would be strange, but I don't think we normally would do that. Even in sadness, I don't think we would flip a table. Now, sadness might lead us to frustration, but that's when we would do something like that. When we would, and it's not that, don't get me wrong, our Lord is not acting wildly. He's telling them to get out. This is the house of the Lord. You have no authority to be doing this. Get out of here. But he's certainly frustrated. He's angry because of sin. One of the greatest examples outside of our Lord might be Moses. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai, with those tablets in hand, he had spent that time with the Lord. After telling them on more than one occasion within the last 40 days, or a little prior to that, to stay away from idolatry. Stay away from it. Two of the Ten Commandments had to do with avoiding idolatry. And what does he see when he comes down the mountain? Exodus 32, he looks, and there's a golden calf. Under Aaron, note the authority of Aaron, they melt their jewelry, and they create this golden calf. And the Bible says in Exodus 32, what, verse 19, that Moses' anger waxed hot. I picture those cartoons where you see the steam coming off the cartoon character's head. He's furious. He waxed hot. And he took those tablets and broke them. Probably didn't sound like that, but he broke them. He was very upset. Now, someone says, was that sinful that Moses broke the tablets? Right? You might could debate what he did next when he forced them to burn it and put the ashes in water and drink it. I wouldn't say that we would suggest doing that today when we see sin. But certainly being upset and angry about sin, that which hurts God and hurts the soul and what comes from Satan, certainly nothing sinful about that. But we've got to be able to control that and keep that reeled in. But before we talk about that more, one more point, a third reason, Ephesians 4. And if you don't remember anything else from this particular section as to why anger is not sinful, remember Ephesians 4 and verse 26. And you're welcome to turn there if you'd like. This passage is just as clear as it can be. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. When Paul writes those words, be ye angry and sin not, he's making that point. You can be angry. That's an emotion that's going to come. You don't have control over that. But when it comes, don't allow yourself to sin. Don't let it conceive like lust in that sense. And you do something that you're going to regret, that you know you shouldn't do. He says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. I don't want you to remember that phrase. I'm going to come back to it in a moment. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. What does he mean when he says that? Hold on to that. Let's talk about some reasons that anger can become sinful, though. All right? Anger in and of itself is not sinful. However, the reason Paul would tell us to avoid it is because it quickly can lead us to sin. And this is where, brethren, we catch ourselves, and sometimes we let it go too far. Here's some warnings that we get, starting with James chapter 1. I want to turn here to James chapter 1. Turn in your Bibles there with me. Someone might ask the question, how do I control this anger? How do I do this? Well, as we're going through these points, assuming I can remember, I want to bring out some points, time permitting, that will hopefully allow us to get some ideas as to how we can keep our anger under control. James 1 verses 19 and 20. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. First of all, notice there he says, slow to wrath. When I first read this, I don't know how long ago it was, but I always kind of thought that the implication here is, don't get angry quickly. Right? That the problem was how fast you got angry. But the more I think about it and study the Bible, the more I realize what he's saying here. It's not that there's, you know, Moses came down from the mountain, and it's not that he was wrong because he got angry fast. It's about being angry over things that you shouldn't. One that is quick to anger is one that's getting angry about things that he shouldn't be angry about. Everything is upsetting him, right? That's someone that's quick to anger. You know somebody like that who just, everything upsets them? Right? They just never can be satisfied. They're always frustrated. Normally, that happens with someone who's going through a difficult time. Normally, there's maybe a lot of stress in that person's life. And so they're just easily frustrated. Maybe there's even some hormonal imbalance, a mental imbalance that causes that. But there are people, and I won't take the time to do it, but I could think of one in particular that just always are quick. That's what he's talking about here. Everything upsets you. He says, don't be like that. All right, I want you to notice on a positive note what he says before that, though. You want to know how not to be quick or easily upset about everything? He says, verse 19, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. I think that's very important. In connection with that, before he says slow to wrath, he says be more of a listener than a speaker. What he's getting at, I believe, brethren, is don't be one who's just quick to shout things out. And when you're angry, you and I both know that if you just start shouting things out when you're upset, before you really sit down and think about it, you're going to say something you regret. Something's going to come out that you're going to wish it had not come out. And that's the implication at the end of, verse 20. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. There's that wrath. When it comes to that point in which wrath enters, when it gets too far, it's not going to bring about the righteousness of man. You're going to say something that you will regret. Which brings us to the next part of this. The Bible references it as folly, foolishness. You do things that you know are foolish, but at the time they don't seem foolish because you're upset. You're going to say something, and we've all done it. I assume we've all said things in our frustration that we regret. Right? In the home, spouses, we get in arguments with, and it's I've mentioned before, it just doesn't work the way it ought to. It's the people we love the most that we sometimes get the most frustrated with. And we say things in our frustration that we shouldn't have said. Foolishness. Things that later we regret and think, why would I say something like that? That's because we're sometimes quick to speak. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 9, by the way, he says that Solomon in his wisdom, he says, you don't be hasty in the spirit to anger, because anger rests in the bosom of fools. It's foolishness. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs, though. make sure I'm caught up here. Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. Solomon again here speaking of folly. A couple of passages that we want to look at. Look at verse 17 to begin with. Verse 17. He that is soon angry, Proverbs 14, 17. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. Look at verse 29. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. Notice that. Interesting. But he that is hasty of spirit exalteth that folly, exalteth that foolishness. Notice that great understanding. A person that is not quick-tempered, a person that takes time to be a listener and not just outburst from time to time, is a person that has great understanding. Think about the difference. And you've been there. Think about how much easier it was for you to control what you said when you waited just a little bit to cool off some before you just burst it out and said it. Right? Sometimes the only thing that heals that angered moment that we have is time. Sometimes you just need to step away, and that's okay. I would much rather step away and say, let's pause this for just a moment and go and get a breath of fresh air, whatever I need to do, before shouting out something without having that greater understanding, before really thinking about what I'm saying that could really devastate the person that I'm talking to. I remember Abraham Lincoln. I mentioned him this morning. He's been on my mind, and there's a lot of illustrations that could come from his decisions in life, but he had a Secretary of War by the name of Edwin Stanton, if I'm not mistaken, but Edwin was his first name, and Edwin had a situation arise where an officer accused him of showing favoritism to those around him, and he was very, very angry, took this very personally, and he went to Abraham Lincoln, and he said, what do I do? What do I do about this? And Abraham told him, he said, you get you a piece of paper out, and you let him have it in letter form. You write it down and get it all out there. And so Edwin did. He took his paper and he wrote all that down, and he came back and said, here it is, President, what do I do with it? And Abraham said, you take that piece of paper, you put it in the oven, and you burn it. And then you write your second letter, and now that you have some time has passed, and say what you really want to say. That's something that history says that Abraham often did. In the writings and things about him. He would write a letter and just kind of, I don't know what he would say in it, but kind of making himself feel, it's kind of like we might say we put our head in a pillow and scream. Have you ever heard that? Maybe that really works. I haven't tried that, but everybody might have that way that they're able to release that anger in a way that is not ungodly. I don't know that screaming in a pillow is the wisest thing, but if it works, you're not hurting in that pillow, you know, you're not going to hurt that pillow. And certainly it may help if that's how you deal with anger. But don't allow yourself to give them that first letter. You understand what I'm saying? Don't allow yourself to outburst on. It's like a balloon. And anger stacks. It really can build up like stress or anything else. And it's like a balloon that pops. And if it's never ceasing to, you know, decreasing back down, it's constantly being built up. Eventually, that balloon's going to explode. And that's what we do sometimes. We don't allow ourselves to cool down, and we let life just stack, and then we end up doing something rash. A biblical example comes from Genesis chapter 4, Cain and Abel. As a matter of fact, I want to turn here. There's such a great point and another lesson for us here, I believe. Genesis chapter 4. Genesis 4, Cain and Abel. You recall that Abel's sacrifice, his offering, was accepted to God, and Cain's was not. God had told them very plainly, this is how I want it to be done. We know that because the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11 that they did it by faith. We know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So when they did this, obeyed God by faith, obviously they heard the Word of the Lord, His command is regarding sacrifices. Well, Cain disregarded it, and he did his own thing. He offered from the fruit of the ground instead of the flock. And so in verse 5, let's begin in verse 5. Here's what it says. But unto Cain and his offering he had not respect, that is, God to Cain. Cain was very wroth, very angry, and his countenance failed. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? I want you to remember that question. Anytime you're upset, anytime you're angry, that's one of the questions, and I'm going to give you a few more later, but that's one of the questions we need to ask ourselves. Why is it that I'm angry? Just stop and think about what's going on. God says to him, think about it, Cain. Why are you upset? Why have you allowed your countenance to fall? Why are you not yourself? Verse 7, if you do well, shall you not be accepted? That's such a huge statement. I underline that. Remember that phrase. He's saying to Cain there, if you had simply done what I asked you to do, this would have never happened, Cain. In other words, your anger was brought about by who? By you. Cain, you're the reason you're upset. You did this to yourself. How many times might we calm down if we just ask ourselves, did I just bring this on? You know, I don't know how many times I maybe have been frustrated with Amber, bless her heart. And really, ultimately, the reason I was frustrated, the reason she the reason she told me I was silly, she said, I'm in trouble. The reason she said, I'm just kidding. The reason she said that was silly or whatever it was, is because it was. I get so defensive, and I'm like, Amber, I'm too prideful to mess up, right? But at the end of the day, it's my fault. I'm angry, and I'm the one that did it. You know, sometimes we might just ask ourselves, if I did it right to begin with, would this have ever happened? Verse 7. If thou doest well, thou shalt be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And thou shalt be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Cain, remember what James said about listening? Cain did not be swift here to listen. He didn't really let it soak in what God had just told him. He let that anger stay with him. He bottled it up, and he went and did something rash and took the life of his brother. You probably have not been so angry that you've taken someone's life, but sometimes when we hold on to that anger, we cause ourselves to do something that we shouldn't have done. To do something rash, something hurtful. And a lot of times that's what we want in our anger. We want to hurt the person that hurt us. We want to take it out on someone. Sometimes we may even be angry, God forbid, but sometimes you see people getting angry at God. But remember that question. If we do well, will we not be accepted? So very important. Bottling anger is a third point that I want to get to. This idea of bottling it up. Psalm 37 verse 8 references ceasing from anger, not holding on to it. You remember when I said hang on to Ephesians 4 and verse 26? Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Here's why. This is why, because I wanted to talk about it in this point. When the Ephesian writer, Paul, says you need to make sure the sun doesn't go down on your wrath, what he's referencing there is the picture of you go to bed at night in your anger, you wake up the next morning and you're still angry, right? You didn't resolve the problem, you're bottling up that anger. That's the principle there. He says, that's when sin is going to come. Notice, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Not anger, wrath. Because that's the idea of wrath. It's to hold on to it. It's to allow it to go too far and to take action. There is a righteous wrath. God has a righteous wrath. He's going to give His wrath and His judgment upon all of us. That's not what Paul's talking about here. He's talking about waking up and bottling it up. And when we do that, when we bottle it up, not only is it going to happen when we're quick-tempered, but when we hold on to anger, we're going to do something we ought not do. There's going to be a situation that presents itself when we have that opportunity to hurt that person, and we might just do it. We might let Satan get to us in that way. 1 Samuel 18 in verse 8, I think of Saul when I think about bottling anger. Saul just constantly had that anger that really was brought about by jealousy, but he was constantly angry at David, and ultimately that ended in his demise. You know, someone might say, how do you do it? You know, we want to make this practical. How do I get rid of that anger? Well, and again, maybe it's releasing it by going and walking a while. But some people, I'm not very good at this, but some people have an ability to channel their anger and use it for good, in a good way. I'll give you an example I thought was interesting. Walt Frazier, if that name means anything to you, he played for the New York Knicks basketball we're talking about. And a couple of decades ago, there was a game between the Knicks and the Bullets. And I wish I could have found more information on this, but apparently one of the other players punched Walt Frazier in the face in the middle of a basketball game, and the refs called a foul on Walt Frazier, the guy that was punched. I can't fathom that, but that's how it happened. Well, here's the point. Walt, the news and the people, the fans said, in the articles, you can read this online, Walt's countenance, his face never changed. He was hit, And they called a penalty on him, and they said the only thing that changed is that in the last couple minutes of the game, from that point on, he was verbally calling for the ball, and he made 7 shots in a row and won them that ball game. Right? He channeled that anger and used it for good. He was able to not, that's, now that takes maturity, that takes maybe some practice, but what we can't do, I'm repeating myself, I know, but brethren, what we can't do, and I want you to leave here tonight remembering this, is allow that anger to cause you to do something you're going to regret. Whatever you have to do to avoid it, do that. But don't do something that you're eternally going to regret. That's what anger does. That's such an easy way that Satan can get a hold of you and not let you go. I mean, there's things called anger management because it can just be almost everyday situation. And it can take over your life if we're not careful. We need to not bottle up that anger in any way. A final passage, Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. And the lesson will be yours. Proverbs, a lot of these passages, Proverbs, there's just always some great wisdom in any of these lessons we do, and I love to reference it. Look at verse 24 and 25. One final thing about anger is it's not only affecting you, but it can affect those around you. Make no friendship, he says, with an angry man and with a furious man, thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. This is a two-way street. Number one, don't have anger in your life and be quick to anger because you're going to influence others negatively. And the flip side of the coin is, don't involve yourself. Don't spend time around people who are constantly angry because that's going to affect you. I remember, I'll never forget the first time I read this. I don't remember, it's many years ago, a long time, but there were 100, you'll never believe, listen to me now, there were 107 buildings that were destroyed in the city of Boston. 107 that were destroyed by a fire. You want to take a guess how that fire started? It all started when, in a Major League Baseball game, the Boston Red Sox were playing the Baltimore Orioles, and I forget his name just left me, John McGraw, I believe it was, got in a fight with a third baseman. And before long, all the players started to fight. And then all the stadiums started to fight, the fans. Somebody lit that stadium on fire, burned the stadium to the ground, and it spread and destroyed it 107 buildings before they were to put that fire out. All because of an anger that was unleashed on a third baseman in a baseball game. What's the point of that? Anger can be devastating to the people around you. It can devastate your brethren, your family, the entire Lord's body, or a lot of a city in that particular example. This is serious, serious stuff. Something that we can easily push to the side because it's just an emotion that comes and goes. And, you know, someone once said, anger, I get upset and I explode for a minute, but then I'm done and it's fine. To which a wise man responded, well, a shotgun does the same thing, but its effects can be devastating in long term. That's exactly right. Let me conclude with this quote I thought was interesting. A person who is angry on the right grounds, against the right persons, in the right manner, at the right moment, for the right length of time, deserves great praise. I think that's a great quote. And I think about Matthew 5 and verse 22, where he says, when you are angry at your brother without a cause, he says, you're in danger of the judgment. I want to conclude with a couple of questions that we need to ask ourselves from this quote here. Are you angry on the right grounds? The first thing to ask yourself is, why am I angry? Why am I upset? When you get in that frustrated mode, why? Or is there a reason to be angry? Is it a righteous anger? Is it about sin or something important? Or are you being angry over something that really shouldn't matter? And check that off the list. Are you angry at the right person? We can definitely be angry at someone else and take it out on a person in our home, a person that we're close to, and they didn't do us wrong, but we take it out on them sometimes. Am I even angry at the right person? I didn't do you wrong. Why are you upset with me, right? That sort of situation. In the right manner. How are you handling yourself in this situation? Am I addressing this the way that I ought to address it? Am I addressing it in a way that the Lord would be pleased with me? At the right moment, right? Is this the time to deal with this, you might say? And for the right length of time. And that goes back to bottling that up. How long am I going to be angry about this? When is this going to be over? How long have I been angry about this? Is it time for me to let this go? No, it doesn't matter if they come to you, the person, let's say someone does you harm, it doesn't matter if they've asked forgiveness or not. We've got to be willing to offer that to them. Now, I know you can't forgive them unless they ask. That's Bible. But we've got to have a willing heart, not hold that grudge against them and constantly hold that anger in. I hope that answered the question that was submitted to me. Is anger a sin? Inherently, no, but it can lead to devastating effects, spiritually speaking. It can be very sinful. Now, I want to encourage you tonight, with all love and encouragement that I have, to be careful about anger and not let it get out of control. Temperance, it breaks that rule of temperance that Jesus taught us, but that's a whole other lesson. I appreciate your kind attention on this subject tonight. And so we have an opportunity, as always. The Lord has given us another chance, and you another chance, if you're not a child of God, to do that this very evening. Right? The wrath of God, His anger, right? We get angry sometimes. We don't want to witness and experience the wrath of God in eternity. We don't want to do it. You think your spouse is pretty irate when he or she is upset? God's going to be much worse. And it's going to be justified, because that's what we deserve. We deserve to be put in that place of darkness and be miserable for all eternity. That's really what we're due. And friends, that's what we're destined to have if we don't make things right with our Lord. He's made it very plain, very understandable. To believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, Jesus has more than done His part to show that He came to this world and died for us. He's told us to repent of sin. We've got to make that decision to turn away from sin, whether it's sin that comes from anger or whether it's something else in our lives. We've got to be willing to confess publicly and not hide it or pretend like we're, you know, hypocritical or being a fake Christian, but to tell others that we truly believe Jesus is the Son of God, and we do with confidence. Matthew 10 and verse 32. And to be buried in the watery grave of baptism, to have all your sins washed away in the blood of Christ. You can do that this very evening. Maybe you've done those things, but there's sin in your life. Again, as it relates to tonight, maybe it's outbursts of anger. Things that you said that you wished you hadn't. That's very common. Maybe it's you've done things that you wish you hadn't in your frustration. If we can encourage you in that or some other thing that's going on in your life, let us know and we'd be happy to assist you, to pray with you and for you, and to wrap our loving arms around you. Won't you come if you're in need as we stand and sing together?